All right, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is discussed at the end of Masechta Ksuvos. So since we're learning Masechta Ksuvos this year, and we just finished, except for three lines, Masechta Ksuvos last week, I was saving that for later, a month hiatus, so I figured we'd talk a little bit about it. So the top source over here, this is a famous source, and what's important for us to know is, aside from the fact that everything I'm going to read to you is found in Masechta Ksuvos, it's also Paskin Halacha L'Maaseh in the Rambam. So let's see what it says. Tanur Rabbanan. Hu Omer La'alot. Hubby says he wants to make Aliyah, but he Omer Shelo La'alot. Kofen Oto La'alot. He can force her. V'im Lav Teitzei B'lo Ksuva. She doesn't get the Ksuva. He can divorce her and say, that's it. You're like a sinner? No Ksuva. And vice versa. He Omer La'alot. Hu Omer Shelo La'alot. Kofin oto lalot. She can force him to make aliyah. Vimlam yotzim v'iten ksuva. Beis Din will force him to give her a get, give her her freedom, let her make aliyah, and he has to pay her a ksuva, because he's the one who's holding her back. He omer let's say, now it's about leaving. She goes, I can't take it here in Israel, I want to go to Chutz Eretz. Omer shalo let's say. Kofin ota shalo let's say. Vimlam teitz sebelo ksuva. And the opposite. Who omer let's say, he wants to leave. He omer shalo let's say. Kofin ota shalo let's say. Vimlam yotzim v'iten ksuva. So both on aliyah and on leaving, either spouse can force the other one. You must go to Israel. You may not leave Israel. And the one who's at fault loses financially. Okay. The Gemara continues later on the same page and says, Tan Rabbanan, Li'olam yidur adam be'eretz Yisrael afilu be'er sharuba ovde kochavim. Ta'a yidur b'chutz eretz afilu be'er sharuba Yisrael. So it's better to live in Israel, even if you're living in a place where they're mostly idolaters. I don't know. Beit Lechem, is that what we said? Let's say, maybe, Christians, if they're idolaters. Maybe. And better than that than to live in Borough Park. Or wouldn't you? Sorry about that, Sammy. Or Sammy's dad. Too bad, right? Va'al yidur b'chutzah, filu be'ir shiru b'Yisrael. All those Jews in Woodmere. Shkol adar be'eretz Yisrael, dom ekamish yesh le'eloah. You live in Israel, then it's like you have a God. V'chol adar b'chutzlar, it's dom ekamish ein lo'eloah. It's like you don't have a God. Very, very harsh. Gemara goes on to say, as it says, "Letet lechem et eretz kanan liot lechem le'elohim." Only in Israel you're going to have a God. Kosheinu dar be'eretz ein lo eloah. I'm going to say, all of you guys up until now you didn't have a God. It's crazy. Elo ma'alacha. No, it's not as bad. Kol adar b'chutzas kiilo ovdei oveda v'ras kachad. Maybe just a bunch of pagans. You're not atheists. Chas v'shalom. But you are pagans. Okay. So if you feel better, good. V'chein. How do we know? But David, who am I? David complaining to Shaul, why do you keep chasing your old place? Now I have to leave Eretz Israel. It's like you've caused me to leave from being in this the bounty, the inheritance, the land of God. Lay more, you're saying to me, Lech avod Elohim acherim. Go worship other gods. Did anyone ever say that to David? So what do we see? You live in Chutz Eretz, it's as if you are an idolater. Okay? Very, very strong stuff. And as I said at the outset, this is not just, you know, nice agarata. This is all brought down halacha l'maisa in the Rambam. Husband could force his wife, and he says, better to live in Israel. So now the question would be, so what's the source? And what's the source? Where do you see such a thing? So there's a pasuk in Chumash. Okay, look at the next source. Parashas Matos. Varashtim et haaretz v'yishavtim bah. You should conquer the land. You should settle the land. Ki lechem natati et haaretz l'reshetota. I have given this land, Eretz Israel, to you to settle and to inhabit. The Ramban al HaTorah says this is a mitzvah d'aseh. Okay, Rabina is fond of quoting his father. He asked his father, I don't get it. You grew up learning in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe. How did you become such a Zionist? To which Rabina's father said, I learned the Ramban. How could you not be a Zionist when you learned the Ramban on Chumash? All right? The Ramban says, you have to do it. Now, in his commentary on that pasuk, he says a mitzvah. In Sefer HaMitzvah, he goes more in depth. What I have now for you is from Sefer Mitzvot. This is a small excerpt of it, but it says like this. Shenitzavenu And I'll get back to what the Ramban Sefer Mitzvah is and Mitzvah Dalar, what that's all about. It says like this: Shinitzavenu l'reshet ha'aretz, Ashenatana el yitbarach v'yitaleh l'avotenu. So we are commanded to settle the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. L'Avraham Yitzchak l'Yaakov, the land was given to our forefathers. V'lo nezva b'yad zulatenu min ha'umot o l'shmama. Very important line. According to the Ramban, it is usur to leave the land desolate or in the hands of other nations, right? It's considered wrong to let another nation rule over Israel. We should have self-government in Eretz Yisrael, or to leave the land desolate, this would be asr. That's why the pasuk says, "V'arashem et haaretz v'shaftem ba, ki lechem natati et haaretz l'reshet ota. V'hitnacheltem et haaretz." You have to settle the land. V'nechpal ze inyan b'mitzvah zu mekomot acherim. This mitzvah is mentioned in other places as well. Kamor yitbarach, this is from the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Bo rushu et haaretz, come, conquer the land, Hashem shpati levoteichem. V'omer ani, says the Ramban, ki ha-mitzvah she'chachamim mefligim ba, this mitzvah that the chachamim speak with such great praise. V'hu dirat Eretz Yisrael, I'm referring to living in Israel. Ad she'amru, how much do they praise this mitzvah? To the point that they said, "Kol yotzei mimenu v'dar b'chutz la'aretz." Anyone who leaves and lives in chutz la'aretz, moves to chutz la'aretz, yeh beinecha ka'ovid avodah zara. It's like you're worshiping idols. Shenemar ki gershuni yeh mislepech menachat Hashem leimor lech avodah lemacherim. V'zulat zo haflagot gedolim sha'am ruba. Aside from all of these praises, hakol humi mitzvah aseyu. We should know this all part of mitzvah aseyu. Shenistaveinu l'reshet ha'aretz l'shevet ba. Bold print. Clearly not in the Rambam, but in the way that I put it in the, on the sheet. Im Kain, the reason why it's bold print, you'll see there are people that take issue with this. Im Kain, says the Ramban, he mitzvah asei lidorot. This is a mitzvah for all generations. Mitchayev kol yachid mimenu. Upon each and every individual. Vafilu bizman galut. Alright, so again, what is he? He's going against all these different arguments. Some people say, no, it doesn't apply anymore. It's not on an individual. It's maybe on the time of the Beit HaMikdash. No. It is for all generations, on each individual, even during Galut. Ki yadua b'tal mekamot harbeh, as we see in many different locations in the Gemara. V'lashon Sifri. Anyone know what the Sifri is? Okay. Good. It's the Midrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Devarim. Okay? But here would be based on Bamidbar, because we had it at the end of Bamidbar. Very good. The Lashon Sifri is Maisa Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Rabbi Matya ben Cheresh, Rabbi Chananiah ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Natan. Shaya Yotzin Chutz Laretz. They once went to Chutz Laretz. V'Yegia LaPlatia, they got to like the city, the center of the city where they were. V'Zachrut Eretz Yisrael. So when they remembered, oh my gosh, we left Eretz Yisrael. And here we are, sitting in Citi Field. V'zakfu et einehem. And they started to look up, and they started to cry. Zolgu dimoteim, v'kor b'gdem. They cried, they ripped their clothes. V'koro mikra zeh. Then they read the pasuk, v'yirashta, v'yishavta ba, v'shamarta lasot. V'amru, there's a famous line, yeshivat Eretz Yisrael shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvot. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael equals all the mitzvah put together. Now, just to be intellectually honest, it's not the only mitzvah it's said about seven different mitzvot that you have in, throughout Chazal. They'll mention about Shabbos, they'll mention about Tzitzis. There's a bunch of different ones, Talmud Torah. So, but clearly it's a major mitzvah. You know, definitely a major mitzvah. This you see from the Ramban. What's important for us is the beginning. Because for the Ramban, the only thing he could hope for was kol yachid v'yachid can come on Aliyah. But in his day, the first part was impossible. But today, Baruch Hashem, we gathered together, people came in so that we had an army and we had weapons and we have a government and we actually don't have foreign rule. We have Jewish rule. We don't have desolate places. We have Jews moving out all over the country. So we're being makayim because as this mitzvah, this first part, you need a nation to do. So while the Ramban could hope, and he did it on his own, he made Aliyah as an individual, the idea of a nation coming and having self-rule and settling all of Israel, that was a pipe dream in his day. And we live it, and we should understand how special it is, you know, the time that we're living. Now, I quoted for you the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah. Why didn't I quote for you the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah? And here's where it gets tricky. Because the Rambam doesn't list the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tariag mitzvahs. Now, there's a Gemara in Makos. Okay, we're learning that now. And the Gemara in Makos only found in one place. Rav Simlai says that there are 613 mitzvahs, 248 tasei, 365 lo tasei. But he doesn't spell them out. So all the Monei HaMitzvot, all the people, tried to figure out what makes the cut, what doesn't make the cut. Because if any of us would sit there and go through the Pesukim and try to add up mitzvot, we'd all get to more than 613. So everyone's got to figure out what is, you know, like included, what's not included. Again, it doesn't mean that something's not min haTorah. We know, for example, Shabbos, we have 39 malachot. And according to the Yerushalmi, there's 39 toldot for every malacha. And every single one of them is d'oraisa. So I can have hundreds, if not thousands, of Isurei min haTorah on Shabbos. But there'll be one mitzvah, you know, maybe two, Shamar v'Zachar. So what makes the cut, what doesn't make the cut? And the Rambam, for whatever reason, doesn't have this mitzvah, which is strange, considering I told you when we began reading the Gemara from Ksuvos, he does bring in his Sefer, in his Mishneh Torah, that you could force your wife to make Aliyah, she could force you. That it's better to live in Israel in Beit Lechem than in Woodmere. So, how come the Rambam doesn't make it as a mitzvah? And this has puzzled Rishonim and Achronim alike, everyone trying to figure out what is the Shitas HaRambam. So, what did you hear? Anyone ever hear anything? What's the Shitas HaRambam on this? Okay. I mean, you could say that, except, you know, the Rambam. You know what? Yes, there are people that say that. What's the proof? The Rambam doesn't say it's a mitzvah to believe in God. No, I take it back. He does. The Ramban says there isn't.
The Rambam says there's no faith.
Right, he said no, it's a mitzvah laid down, to know. Right. To know. But, okay, so you can say it's all-encompassing. I've heard people say that. Okay, anything else? Yeah?
Maybe it doesn't hold as a mitzvah nowadays, but in Galut.
Okay, so we have to figure that out, maybe. Good, we'll see that.
In his time, it was dangerous, so you weren't.
Okay, so let's see. So, the simplest answer is, what I told you before, the Rambam clearly holds the mitzvah min haTorah, but for whatever technical reason, it didn't make the cut. The Rambam has a whole bunch of ways. It's the whole first half, more than half, of Sefer HaMitzvot. It's explaining to you how he decided what makes the cut and what doesn't. All is klalim. So, for whatever reason, this didn't make the cut, but it's certainly a mitzvah min haTorah. Some want to say, well, the Rambam holds a big deal, but it's only a mitzvah derabanan, which would be hard to say you can force your wife to uproot from her family for a mitzvah derabanan. It's a little bit difficult. And certainly when, you know, the Gemara says mitzvah yishuv eretz yisrael shkula keneged kol mitzvot, hard to call a mitzvah derabanan equal to all the mitzvot. So it's a little bit difficult, but you could say this. Those who want to say the reason why the Rambam doesn't hold from it, they go to another Gemara in Ksuvos. Okay, look at the next source. Before we started Kuf Yud Amid Bet, now we're Kuf Yud Amid Aleph. Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. Gimel Shvuot Halal Olama. Okay, there are Psukim and Shira Shirim that talk about Nishpati Yotchem Benot Yerushalayim. I made you swear. So, what are these oaths? What is it referring to? So, Gemara there says, Acha Shalo Yalu Yisrael B'choma. That we should not go. Do you guys remember what Rashi say? What was Shalo Yalu B'choma? Kechoma, en masse, go back, conquer Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The next two, V'achat Shishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Shalo Yimrdu Be'umot HaOlam, even when you're in Gullus, don't rebel against your host nation. And the achat sheshviya kodesh baruch hu et ha'ovdei kochavim, God made the goyim swear, shelo yishtabdu behen b'Yisrael yoter midai. The goyim should not overly oppress us. Right? Rabbi Yehuda quotes in Ta'iru v'im taruksiv. Okay, he goes on to say that there's maybe six. I'll mention these words soon. Now, there's a Gemara in Ksuva. So what's the Gemara saying? We shouldn't come back and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Right? Maybe. The Megillat Esther feels that way. Okay? Am I getting up to the Megillat Esther here? Let's see. Okay, do you want to see the Megillat Esther now? Yeah. Let's read the Megillat Esther. First of all, the Megillat Esther, when you open up a Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah, so you have, just like you have in a Gemara, you have Rashi and Tosos, so you have two main commentaries on the side. You have the Ramban, and you have the Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther, I don't remember his name, I just remember why it's called Megillat Esther. His mother-in-law gave him the money to sit and learn, so he named the Sefer after her. Her name was Esther. So that's why it's called Megillat Esther. I thought that was very cool. So I don't remember who it is, you know, but that's the name. That's why I named the book. So, like, you know, the Noah Yehuda, so Noah Yehuda's named after his dad. His name was Yecheskel Landau, and his commentary on Chumash and Stiyon Lenefesh Chai is after his mother. But this guy went one better. He named after his mother-in-law. That's pretty cool. Okay? But she supported him. Now, he says that the reason why the Rambam didn't list it is because it's no longer a mitzvah today now that we're in Galut. Reading inside. Nirali, kimasha lo mana harav. The reason why the Rav, whenever you have a commentary writing on a Sefer, so whoever the Sefer they're writing on, that's the Rav, right? So the Rambam here is the Rav. How come he didn't count this mitzvah? Lefisha mitzvah yirushat ha'aretz lo nahaga. Rak b'yimei Moshe v'Yeshua David. When was there a mitzvah to conquer the land? The psukim in the Torah. I refer to Yeshua. You know, Moshe, if he wouldn't have died first. David. Up until Galus. After that, ein mitzvah zu noheget l'dorot. Ad eit bo Mashiach. Till Mashiach comes, there is no mitzvah. Ki adarava. Just the opposite. Shalom ritnim rod b'umot. Lech l'chvosh et aretz b'chazaka. We're not allowed to go and rebel and take the land. Like it says, the Gimel Shvuos that we're talking about. Amar HaRamban, Shachamim said all sorts of nice things. But the Ramban said, well, how can you say that? We have this pause, we have this Gemara saying, I made you swear. Rambam says, we have to go and conquer. That's only if we're not subservient. But if we are, so we're rebelling against them. When did they praise Israel? Only time of the Beit HaMikdash. Now there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Which we'll get to the Tosfos. So now, what is the Megillat Esther saying? He's saying there's no mitzvah because we're in Galus. The Gemara Ksuva says that we have to wait the Gimel Shvuos until Hashem takes us back. What do you think about his reasoning? Make sense? Make sense? Yes? No? What? Yeah, so makes sense to you? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the problems with it. First of all, this piece of Gemara that we just read, the Gimel Shvuah, is this halacha or agadata? What do you think? What did it sound like to you? No, he doesn't bring this down. The thing that you can force your wife to make aliyah. This over here, that God made Israel take two oaths and the Goyim take an oath. Do you think that happened historically? No, right? We don't have any psukim saying anything like that ever happened. So it sounds like agadata. And there is a Gemara. Gemara says it. Ein lumdim min Haggadah. We don't learn from Haggadah. Moreover, this idea that's brought down here in the Bavli, you don't find it in the Yerushalmi. And I'll go further. You know, here. I have a rabbi. He was a rabbi in West Hempstead when I was growing up. Rabbi Shalom Gold. And he moved to Israel. Okay? Like every good rabbi. He moved to Israel. And once, he used to be, back in the day when people had cassettes. I don't even know if you know what that means. I was teaching here in the yeshiva. And I walked to Eshet Torah. They had a huge cassette library. And I had taken out this shiur by one of the Ish rabbis about the state of Israel. And this guy, I won't say his name, he said, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel. He quoted this Gemara. He says, and anyone who tells you otherwise is mistaken. So Rabbi Gold got a hold of this tape and he made a two-tape rebuttal. He said, I don't want to be quoted, you know, I don't want to be accused of quoting him out of context, so I'm going to play back portion by portion and respond. And Rabbi Gold, I still remember, I could hear it in my eyes, in my ears. He said, he goes, no one says, he says, this is halacha, no one says otherwise. He goes, no one says it's halacha. He goes, it's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Rif, it's not in the Rush, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. No one quotes this Gemara halacha. He goes, this call say that this Gemara is halacha and no one says otherwise is at least intellectually dishonest. It's not in the Torah, you name it. Any halacha sefer, you won't find it. But there are people that call it, the Meshach Chacham called it the Pachad Gimel Shvuot. So it means, okay, maybe something to think about. So first of all, people say, well, the oaths are interconnected. What does it mean? Back when I started teaching, there was no computers, no internet, and the hardest thing about my aliyah was I couldn't get any sports information. It drove me crazy. So I was teaching girls, and I told them, here's the deal. You get me sports info, you know, you'll get an A. I can be bought. Now, the truth, they didn't know I gave A's to everyone. Didn't matter. But, like, so I told them. So girls are going over to their boyfriends. Can I have your Sports Illustrated when you're finished? They go, oh, you're into, yeah, yeah. I'm getting, that's good. A for you. Anyways, great. So what does that mean? It means that if you keep your end of the bargain, you get me sports info, I'll give you an A. What happens if you don't get me sports info? Am I mechuyev to give you an A? Absolutely not. Did the Goyim keep their end of the bargain? No, every single generation, every single occasion, they overly oppressed us. And therefore, to say that we don't, that we should still keep our end of the bargain, we don't have to. The Shach brings down, for example, how come Shimshon was able to fight against the Plishtim? Didn't Avram Avinu make a bris with Avimelech?
They didn't keep it,
so we don't have to keep it. What, were the only suckers that keep it? No. Right? Sometimes that's what the United Nations wants us to do, you know? No, we don't care that they're breaking every single thing. You guys should keep your... So, this is a second idea, even if you want to take it seriously. But, then we have another thing. The Avnei Nezer. Anyone ever hear of the Avnei Nezer? Okay, Rebbe Misakachev. And the Meshech Chachma. Meir Simcha of Devinz, the Or Sameach. They both say, after the Balfour Declaration and the San Remo Conference with the League of Nations ratified that, giving Palestine to the Jewish people, there's nothing to worry about. Even the pachad of the Gimel Shvuot doesn't apply because we're not forcibly taking it. It was given to us. There's no rebellion. There was a decision that was made by the nations. So there should be nothing holding us back. The Vilna Gaon also just happened to say about this Gemara and, you know, the Pesukim of Shira Shirim, that says this Gemara is talking about that you're not allowed to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash until the Nevi'im tell you you can. That has nothing to do about going back to Eretz Israel. And the Vilna Gaon set out to come on Aliyah. Something happened, but he sent his students. Okay, it's not clear what happened, but he felt, of course, you can go back and build up, and you should. And we have all these Talmidei Gra that moved to Yerushalayim. That's why we have Yerushalayim filled with Minhag Gra, because he pushed his students to come here. So, technically, how do we understand the Rambam? The Avnei Nezer says a very interesting thing. The Rambam, I told you, in his introduction, talks about how he decided what makes the list and what doesn't make the list. And he says there are certain mitzvot that have, this is not his terminology, but I'll use it, buddy mitzvot. I'm thinking of like when you go swimming, you go, you know, you have buddy system, 1, 2, 3, okay, fine. So this is there's a realm of buddy mitzvahs. What's buddy mitzvah? That if I have two mitzvahs that are sort of connected, I don't have to write them both. I write the first one, and the other one is understood. So for example, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to build the Mishkan. He doesn't have a separate mitzvah to build the Mishkan, I'm sorry, to build the Aron. Even though the Aron, but building the Mishkan was to house the Aron, that was a given. You build the Mishkan, so I don't have to also list as a separate mitzvah the building of the Aron. Incidentally, the Ramban, who we see over here, argues with the Rambam, also over there, lists as a separate mitzvah, building the Mishkan and building the Aron. So, that's why, again, I never mentioned this. The Aron, since there are 613 mitzvot, if you disagreed, the Ramban disagreed with X number of mitzvot, he says the Rambam left out these mitzvot, so he removed some, added his own, both mitzvot aseh, mitzvot lo taseh. That's what we have, this mitzvot aseh of the Ramban, because he says it should have been on the list. So according to the Avnei Nezer, it's just a technicality, because he wrote, what did he write? The Rambam wrote in mitzvah kuf pei zayin. Mitzvot aseh kuf pei zayin, the Rambam writes, hachreim tachrimam, destroy the nations living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Avnei Nezer, obviously the reason to do that is to then move in. Right? He doesn't have to write and then move in, because that's clearly what you have to do. So he says, just like he writes building the Mishkan, but not building the Aron, this is what he wrote here. If there's a mitzvah to destroy the nations living in Eretz, what? And then what? Leave it barren so that they come in again and have to do it again? Clearly makes no sense. I know there's a hand up. Give me one more second. Rav Herzog says, another technical reason that proves that the Rambam holds from mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam lists mitzvot that are applicable for all times. Not once upon a time and never again. That's why he won't talk about the certain karbonot that were brought on Chanukat HaMishkan. Okay? And yet the Rambam lists mitzvah kuf pei zayin, the mitzvah fighting against the seven nations of Israel, and the next in kuf pei chet, fighting against Amalek. And he says, look, by the time the Rambam came around, the Gemara already talked about it. We don't know who the seven nations are. They were all dispersed. And we don't know what Amalek is. So what's the Rambam writing about? He says, clearly, this is a model of a battle. There is a battle to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and there's a battle to destroy the enemies of Am Yisrael. And he lists this, and therefore, if I have to conquer, I have to like fight against the people and conquer Eretz Yisrael, of course I have to settle Eretz Yisrael. And even though there are no seven nations anymore, this is a mitzvah incumbent upon me. And as far as the Megillat Esther's idea that the Rambam wouldn't write it, there's no mitzvah until Mashiach comes, that's certainly not true, because the Rambam writes about the mitzvah building the Beit HaMikdash was not going to happen until Mashiach comes. So clearly, he would write a mitzvah, even if it's time of Beit HaMikdash. So the Rambam is holding. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It was just for technical reasons that it didn't make the cut. But it certainly is a mitzvah. First Sammy, then Ryan.
Yes,
sir. Okay.
But how is it possible that, yeah,
he didn't forget.
He didn't leave out.
So according to the Rebbe Herzog, when he says to go and fight against the seven nations in Eretz Israel, there were no seven nations anymore. The Rambam wouldn't write a mitzvah that was incumbent upon Yeshua and not afterwards.
That's
what it means to conquer Eretz Israel. And as the Avnei Nezer says, what good is fighting and destroying them and then not living there? So he says clearly it must be that's the reason why you do it. Right? Yes.
Is there somewhere else where he writes in such like a code way, oh, you got to kick out the seven nations to do this? Is there any other mitzvah that
he writes? Look, the Gemara says straight out, we don't know who the seven nations are. They were dispersed on time Sancheriv. And Amalek as well. And yet, Kuf Pei Zayin and Kuf Pei Chet are talking about the seven nations and Amalek. So he says clearly there are types of battle. Right? What is a Mechamah Mitzvah? The Rambam writes Mechamah Mitzvah. Said the Mechamah Mitzvah is to conquer Eretz Israel and to fight against, save Am Yisrael from a nation that's trying to destroy him. This is exactly the seven nations and Amalek. But that's what it is. It's a type of mitzvah. It's a Mechamah Mitzvah. Okay. Now, flip the page. I'll tell you one more idea. Rav Kook was not bothered by the Gimel Shvuot because of this last line that we have from on the sheet here in Ksuvos. Im ta'iru ve'im toraru. The Gemara there had said, you have to stay here and not yalu b'chomar until im ta'iru v'toraru, until there's an awakening. Said Rav Kook, it was an amazing, crazy thing that happened. All of a sudden, swept throughout the world, this feeling of nationalism that swept throughout Europe, that then nationalism turned into specific Zionism, and the people, not even connected to Torah, decided, I'm going to leave my comfortable culture, jobs, language, and go to a barren land with malaria and build it up because I feel it's my calling. He goes, that's not God's awakening? That is clearly it. So it says we should stay there until there's an awakening. Guess what? This is the awakening. That's what Rav Kook said. This is it. Okay. So now you look at the top of the next page. The Piskei Tshuva says, Hu Omer Lalot. Right, Ethan, you asked me this the other day. Shulchan Aruch says, husband says, I want to make Aliyah. Wife says, I don't want to. He can divorce or not give her ksuba. Is that halakha today? 100%. Says like this. Eino noheg b'zman hazeh. I skipped. Go to the next line. Piskei Tshuva, not the Tosfos. Ve'im king. Kol hazmanim shavim l'kiyu mitzvah zeh. Every single generation. This mitzvah applies. The Kachma Vuarmi. Kol haposkim. All the poskim say it. Rishonim v'achronim. Shekasvu shekofena isha shetaleh moika. Force your wife to make aliyah kepashta to masnisan, as Pashup Shan the Mishnah says. Im kein vadai to lo sphere lehad Reb Chaim HaKohen. For sure we don't hold like this view of Reb Chaim Cohen and Tosas, which we'll see in a second. V'gama shekasvu Tosas sham de'enu noy b'zman hazeh. He's wrong. What do we see? The Piskei Tshuva in Evin Ezer says all Rishonim and Achronim say, this means, if it was the Rambam disagreed, he clearly would say, except for the Rambam, obviously. It's not like you'd forget about the Rambam. They all agree that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel and you can force your spouse to make aliyah. The Chazon Ish says the same thing, writing later. Obviously a mitzvah in every generation. As I said, hard to understand the Rambam allowing you to force your spouse to uproot from her family because of mitzvah to Rabbanan. It's got to be that this is a mitzvah min haTorah. Not only that, the halacha is, okay, amir l'nachri. Okay, I am not allowed to, Shabbos is very important, right? So important, I don't blow shofar on Shabbos because I might come to carry. I don't take lulav, I might come to carry. But guess what? I'm allowed to tell a guy, sign on this contract for me because I want to buy land in Israel. If right now the opportunity comes and says, if you purchase this land now, it's yours. You could tell a guy, sign it for me. Give him power of attorney, sign it for you. Because the mitzvah of Eretz Israel is so important, I'm allowed to tell a guy to do it. Now, ordinarily, I can't just tell a guy for a mitzvah. Mitzvah to rob him, yes. All right? Let's say, in your shul, there's no lights on, so they'll rob him. But stam for a person, no. But for this mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Israel, I'm allowed to tell a guy, sign this thing for me. Yes, Ryan.
Even if it's possible to do that?
No, we're talking about like if it's impossible, right? So you can't miss the opportunity, you can tell him to do it. But for example, if just for me, I don't have a sitter, I can't tell a guy to go bring the sitter, you know? Now, there's a famous Gemara in Sota that says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Israel to keep, like the Gemara says, did Moshe want to enter Eretz Israel because he heard the oranges are really good? No. Why? Because he wanted to, Ryan?
He wanted
to make all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So from here it would seem that if he wanted Mekayim Shemitah and Yovel and I don't know what else, Orla, so then how come he didn't say because he wanted Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Maybe there's no intrinsic mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's only the side benefit of when I live in Israel, I can mekayim shmita and trumas and maisros. Okay. Is that true? Maybe. So the Rav Shechter said, based on the Ritva and the Avnei Nezer, Yeah, Ritman, the Avnei Nezer, said no. When I come into Eretz Yisrael, I am closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why we come into Eretz Yisrael, what's the mitzvah? I feel closer. Like, you know, they say in real estate. What's the thing? Location, location, location. You're here, you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu had already reached the highest level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that any human being could attain. So therefore, for him, say the Ritva and the Avnei Nezer, he didn't need to come to Eretz Yisrael for that. He needed for Shemitah and Meisr and Truma. But everyone else, there's obviously also the idea of Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. This is what they said. Moshe Rabbeinu already was talking Panim El Panim, and he didn't need that. Yes? I don't remember. I just have in my notes Ritva and Avnei Nezer. And it's Rav Schechter, if you want to check, in one of the first journals of contemporary halacha, one of the first ones, there was an article, you can like look at it online, Rav Schechter, an article about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. When I first wrote my, you know, did my research, that's where I started, then I started looking up all these other things. So now the question is, are there exceptions? Are there exceptions to living in Chutz Laretz? So on the Daf in Ksubas, we have this famous Tosfos. So look on the top of the second side of the page. Tosfos Kuf Yud Amud Bet, where the husband can tell his wife. Husband can tell his wife to make aliyah. Hu Omer Lalot, says Tosfos, Eino Noheg Bizman Hazeh. This mitzvah is not applicable today. Why? Dika Sakanas Terachim. It's dangerous to get to Israel. Vahaya Omer Rabbeinu Chaim. This is Rabbeinu Chaim, a Kohen. He's one of the Balei Tosfos, quoted in several places in Shas. Da Achshav Eino Mitzvah Lador Be'eretz Israel. Today there is no mitzvah to live in Israel. Why? Ki yesh kama mitzvot tatzliot ba'aretz. It's a whole bunch of mitzvahs, you know, in Israel. But kama onshin, and punishments for them. It's hard for us to keep them. Lamod aleihem. So what's Tosfos saying? One, it's dangerous. And two, why, you know, it's hard to keep mitzvahs in Israel. A very strange Tosfos. Very, very strange Tosfos. How strange is it? The Maharit says this must have been written by a Talmud Toeh, a mistaken Talmud. No way Rav Chaim HaKohen, who we know from several places in Shas, would have said something so stupid. One of his students must have mistaken it. I mean, just this is how strange it is. Okay, so what are the problems? First of all, danger. So it could very well be, in the time of the Rishonim, it was very dangerous to get to Eretz Yisrael. The Piskei Tshuva said, if people travel to Israel for business, then it's no longer considered dangerous, let alone leisure, all the vacationing that people do. To say that traveling to Israel is dangerous is no longer an issue. So I know what you'll tell me. No, getting to Israel is not dangerous. It's living in Israel that's dangerous. Says the Tzitz Eliezer. Anyone ever hear of the Tzitz Eliezer? Okay, who was he? The Rebbe Elazar Waldenberg. He died recently, within the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yep, we have like 20 volumes of his, maybe more. Shalot and Shuvot. He was the postsec, the number one postsec for Shari Tzedek Hospital. It's a lot of medical stuff. Rebbe Eliezer Waldenberg. In English, it's Waldenberg, but you know, it's Waldenberg. And he said, look, if it's dangerous living in Israel, there's more of a chiyuv for you to come here. What did the Ramban write? The mitzvah is not to let the land of Israel be desolate or under foreign rule. So if the Jews in Israel need your help, because now there are people attacking, there's actually more of a chiyuv for you to be here and help out in the war effort. Because we can't let Eretz Israel be given over to foreign hands. So mechamen mitzvah. You have to be here. So as far as danger, that part of the Tosfos is out. As far as keeping mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, this is very, very strange. I don't know. Someone's going to tell you, you know, it's really hard to keep Shabbos. Hard. Oh, you know what? You don't have to do it. Don't do it. It's a very strange thing. So what does he mean? There's laws we don't know. So I grant it. We grew up in Chutz Laretz, and we were never taught about Trumas and Meisras. And when I came to Israel, I had to learn the laws of Terumas and Maisos. And certainly, I didn't know anything about Shemitah. I had to go learn the laws about Shemitah. But I mean, like, what does it mean? So, like, since we didn't know, so, like, I remember I once said to one of my Rebbeim, when I didn't want to, like, know something, I said, come on, Rabbi, ignorance is bliss. Right? To which he said to me, but it's still ignorance. You want to go through life being an ignoramus? Wow. He ripped me apart. I mean, like, what are you saying? Just, we don't know, so I want to live in this denial that there are no mitzvahs? It makes no sense. So one second. The Chidah has a very interesting suggestion. His suggestion is, in the time that Reb Chaim was writing this commentary on Tosfot, it was not yet clear what year was Shemitah. And therefore, if I don't know when Shemitah is, any time I'm doing anything, agricultural stuff, I might be violating the laws of Shemitah. So therefore, he said, look, since it's difficult, we're not really clear, so we can't do it. But, says the Chidah, the Rambam, already clarified, and the whole world follows the calculations of the Rambam when Shemitah is, and therefore, to be Melamed Tzchus on Rebbe Chaim HaKohen, maybe that's what he's referring to, but today it wouldn't be a problem for us because the whole world, we follow the calculations of the Rambam. Okay, who had their hands up? Yeah.
Why is it so much easier using the Ma'arit says that, that it was a Tana, it was Torah? Why is that any easier to understand? Like, I'm assuming like, the Talmidim of Tosfos were like random people.
I agree with you as well. He's just saying, I can't, he goes, I find it hard to believe that Reb Chaim, who I've seen several times in Tosfos, would say something that makes no sense. So he said, maybe a student misquoted him. So he said, misquoted him. I'm not saying that's the correct answer. I'm just saying it's so amazing that you have one of the Rishonim making that suggestion. We don't say that all the time, right? Yeah.
Aren't there many times where, like, there's like a Rashi Tosfos argument, there's many different answers in Tosfos, so, like, something we look at is, like, not correct, and we notice that, like, how could that be when you see that this person says that? Like, there's times when Tosfos is, like, wrong, yeah?
Okay, I don't know. Look, to answer that, even if Reb Chaim is Reb Chaim, and this is his opinion, and he holds that you don't have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and because whatever the thing, it's difficult to keep the mitzvahs there, or it's dangerous. Says the Chachmas Adam, okay, he's a das yachid against all the other Rishonim and Achronim. You're right. Let's say you got an opinion like that. It's 99-1, but
who's that opinion? The Chachmas Adam.
The Chachmas Adam. You ever hear the Sefer the Chayi Adam?
Yeah.
The Chayi Adam is on Orach Chaim stuff, and Chachmas Adam is on Yeridea Eben Ezra stuff. Same person. Rav Avram Danzig, who was a Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. Okay? Okay. Now, so what is the Heterim to live in Chutz Laretz? Number one, poverty. This is based on a Gemara in Baba Basra, and this answers why for centuries Jews did not live in Eretz Israel. They couldn't. They couldn't make a living. You couldn't live here. In fact, you should know, for about 100 years up until the early Zionists, Jews came here and lived on Chalukah. What's Chalukah? Tztaka. The Jews from Great Neck sent their elders to live to Israel, and they sent them money. And the community of Great Neck gave money to the people to live out their dying years, as did the Jews from Woodmere and West Hempstead and England and whatever. And people lived here, they're dying, but no one could work the land, nothing grew here. So you lived on Chalukah, that's what it was. So if you were too poor, you couldn't live here, that was the Heter. And that is the reason why most people didn't live here. But the Piskei Teshuva points out, going down in your standard of living is not the same as poverty. Oh, I can't have 3 cars in Israel, only 2. You know, that's not called poverty. Okay? Other heter, you're allowed to live in Chutz Laretz for the sake of Talmud Torah or for the sake of getting married. So, once again, interesting thing. When there was no real big Jewish community here, so all the yeshivas were in Chutz Laretz. Today, there's more yeshivas in Israel than there are in Chutz Laretz. When there were very few Jews here, so I might have dated all 12 women that are marriageable age. So it's time for me to go to Chutz Laretz. Today, here again, there's more women living in Israel than there are living in Chutz Laretz. What we do see is that based that for your physical and spiritual needs, you're allowed to leave. So physically you're poor, or spiritually I need to find a spouse, or I need Torah, then I'm allowed to leave. I mentioned in the past that Rav Schechter mentioned it, that I found it interesting, Rav Avram Shapiro, who was the chief rabbi of Israel when I was in YU, he said that if you're a Rebbe in America, you could stay in America and, you know, lead your flock. And this is the chief rabbi of Israel. And Rav Schechter, who was a rabbi in America, said there's no out there for a name for a banim to stay in America. They should make aliyah as well.
He's in America.
I know. That's why I said that's the irony. Rav Avram Shapiro from Israel said the rabbis can stay in America. And Rav Schechter from America said, no, there's no heter. He said, he spoke here, he said, no rabbi's indispensable. He can come. Someone else will fill a spot. And, like, you know. So, but it's just, you know, what is the main reason why people don't make aliyah? A simple reason. Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. Now my question is, that, and that is the real reason why people don't make aliyah. Would we, Orthodox Jews, accept that when someone says, when you say to them, how come you don't keep Shabbos? He goes, I'm just comfortable with my lifestyle the way it is now. Would anyone accept that and say, oh, well, okay, if you're comfortable, I get it. Like, no one. But yet, that passes for us. Now, anyone who knows anything in learning, who's living in Chutz Laretz, and you say to them, how could you live in Chutz Laretz? They all say to you, Rav Moshe. So let's look at Rav Moshe. Okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein, sort of weird, if this is buried at the end of a tshuva. Like, someone asks him tshuva, it's like a two-part thing, it doesn't even have a heading. Right? The heading is like, I don't know, some sort of like what bracha you make on cornflakes, and at the end, tucked in there is, you know, mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So it's like, doesn't even have a heading, but buried at the end of this, it says like this.
It's probably printed in America.
Yeah, right. So it says like this, uvedavar she'ilatcha, in regard to your question, im yesh mitzvah achshav ador be'eretz Yisrael karamban, is there a mitzvah to live in Israel like the Ramban? Oh, kerep chayim, betosos, ksuvis, daf kuf yud, te'eno mitzvah b'zman hazeh. Right? According to Rav Moshe, it's either a mitzvah or not, Ramban or Tosfos. And his answer is, hinei rova poskim savri du mitzvah. Wow. Should stop right there, right? What does Rav Moshe continue? Aval pashut she'ein zeh bizman hazeh mitzvah chiyuvit. Isn't that obligatory? Shalaguf. On me as an individual, din kain. I am a melee nimsa shasol dor b'chut. We all sort of live in chutz laretz. Mishum sha over al asay. Be violating mitzvah asay. Kama mishiyo vash beget shal arba kanfos. Well, it says, like wearing a four-corner garment without tzitzis. Sheyesh isra lovosh. That's asr to do. Kidei shalo yavor al asay the tzitzis. Full of husker isra. We don't see that. It says it's asr. Ella, the only isra is, and someone was living in Eretz Yisrael, to leave. Okay, skip. So go down. So he says, lomad stamas l'shkam v'nam v'nam. Eli came chazak v'yotzer harav. Mashmah derak. Yosher, one second. So he says, rather. Where are the words? Okay, I shouldn't have skipped. Let me just see. Okay. So he says, uvichidush erachti harbe b'divrei rabbeinu rabbeinu chayim. V'kevet she'enu mitzvah chiyuvit. Yesh vadai litchashev b'achashash Reb Chaim. Listen, this is not an obligatory mitzvah, so we should worry about Reb Chaim. Okay? Maybe we won't be able to keep the mitzvahs to the Yosparetz. This is what he writes. Now, this is problematic. This is what Reb Moshe writes. So in the Sefer called me Afar Kumi. Afar Kumi was written by a guy like a little bit older than you. Guy was learning America's Rav, an American, made Aliyah, was learning America's Rav, and he was writing a Sefer on Mitzvahs Tliyos Ba'aretz. And I spent Shabbos with this guy, and the next week, he was killed in Marat HaMachpelah, in Hebron. Okay? We knew the same people. He was a cousin of people I knew from camp. I went to them for Shabbos, my Shana Aleph here. He was there as a cousin, and he got killed the next week. That's why I remember, because like, I just was with him on Shabbos. Okay? His friends found the stuff he was working on. They published his book, Me'afar Kumi. A friend of mine, Moshe Lichtman, has since translated into English. I think we have it in the library here. And he says, look, how could you look at the Ramban? Look at the question. Is this a mitzvah like the Ramban or like Rabbeinu Chaim that it's not? And what did Rav Moshe say? It's a mitzvah, but it's not chiyuvit. In other words, what people say, kiyumit. What's kiyumit? If you do it, it's a mitzvah, it's not an obligation. But go back to the Ramban that I bold printed for you. What does the Ramban say in his Sefer Mitzvot? Im kein, he mitzvah aseh l'dorot, mitchayev, kol yachim imenu. I mean, the Ramban says straight out, mitchayev. He doesn't say, if you do it, it's a good thing. So to sit there and say, I hold that like the Ramban, because after all, that's what all the Rishonim do, but it's not a chiyuv, is problematic. The truth is, it's problematic to call all mitzvot that. Because like, they're not the 613 recommendations. Right? What do we call them? 613 commandments. It's not like, this is a good idea. No, this is a commandment. So it's very problematic. It's Eitzah Tova. Not Eitzah Tova. Right? So I found it interesting. When I was teaching Maimonides, one of my students came over to tell me the story. I thought it was a little chutzpah on his part, but I couldn't tell him, I had to tell him, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. But inside, I was like laughing. Said one of the rabbis went over, did the old high school rabbi trick, and said, hey, how you doing? Oh, where's your tzitzis? How come you're not wearing tzitzis? And his response was, how come you don't live in Israel? I guess he had been sitting in my classes a lot. And the rabbi just said, well, living in Israel is only a mitzvah kiyumit. And I'm thinking to myself, if anything's a mitzvah kiyumit, it's tzitzis. I don't have to put on a four-corner garment. If I put on a four-corner garment, I have to put on tzitzis. But I'm not no chiyuv to put on a four-corner garment. So this guy's saying, oh, no, living in Israel, that's a mitzvah kiyumit. But tzitzis you should be wearing. So I, like I said, to the student, I just said, yo, you can't talk to the rabbi like that. But inside, I was saying, you're 100% right, and this guy is wrong. Right? But, all right. So, and even if you want to say you have an option to put on a beged to need tzitzis, the Gemara Menachos talks in very strong terms about the person who doesn't put on the four-corner garment. So you should wear tzitzis. So again, it's a mitzvah that I should for sure be doing. And I'll go further. Let's say Ramosha is 100% right, there is no chiyuv. So good. Make aliyah, not because I have to, but because I know that God would want me to do it. I was listening to a shir, I don't remember right now who, and they were saying how a yeshiva bachur went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and was explaining to him all the reasons why there's no chiyuv for him to live in Israel. And Rav Shlomo Zalman just smiled and shook his head. Everything he was saying, he smiled. He goes, why are you doing that? He says, you read the Torah and you see it's Ratzon Hashem. You can quote me whatever you want to quote me, but you read the Torah and you see it's Ratzon Hashem. It's as simple as that. In Gemara Yuma, do it quickly here. It says, the last source over here, we have Reish Lakish Havi Sachi B'Yardana. He's swimming in the Jordan River. Asa Rav Rechana Yad Le'Yada. He's trying to get out and he's slipping. Rav Rechana gives him his hand. Says, let me help you. Amalei, Allah, Sanin Luchu. God hates you. Go away. Spits at him. And he says, why? Goes on to say, had you and your ilk come back with Ezra and Nehemiah, there would never have been a Churban Bayit Sheni. Because most Jews stayed in Chutz La'aretz, like you, which is visiting now, he goes, we had another Churban. So I don't want your help. Take a hike. And I say the same thing. Right? We're making the same mistake. There's a joke that I remember hearing, guys waiting online to go see a Western. Right? And he's like talking to his date and says, yeah, I wonder if like John Wayne's going to fall off the horse in this movie. The guy in front of him says, no way. The guy says, all right, I'll bet you. All right? And they see the movie, and John Wayne falls off the horse. He says to the guy, he goes, I win. He goes, yeah, I'm really surprised, because like I saw the movie already. Goes, you saw the movie already? He said, yeah, but I thought he would have learned. He would have learned his lesson. So that's us. Like, we went through this already, and we're still doing it. Rav Schechter says, famous question, how come the Eved Nirtza gets nailed to the door? Why do we nail him to the door when he doesn't leave in 6 years? The ear that heard lo tignavu, and he goes out and steals. Said Rav Shechter, quoting a whole bunch of people, I don't remember now who. Wouldn't you think that we would have nailed his ear to the door when he stole? Why are we nailing his ear to the door 6 years later? Said Rav Shechter, in the name of somebody, because by him not leaving, what's he showing us? He didn't view avdus as a punishment. He likes it. So now we have to nail his ear to the door. It says, Gullus is a punishment. And if we start to like it, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring upon us punishments so we don't like Gullus. Very, very strong. Look, in Chutz La'aretz, you have at best Judaism as an individual. You, your family. But in Israel, it's a national thing. There's kashrus, national, public places. You feel Judaism. And you have responsibility towards other Jews. Dictates Yishuv Eretz Israel. Actions in chutzlars affect you, at best, your community. But here, all Jews are together. We're in one boat. We rejoice and commiserate together. I find it so interesting that you guys in yeshiva ask questions on so many different things. I get questions on the most minute details. What happens if I have to do this? Can I do this? Is it okay to do this? You know, if I did, how come you don't ask a mate, am I allowed to live in Chutz Laretz? It's a pretty major question. I'm not going to ask that question. Because you don't know, you don't want to know the answer. That's why. Right? Why would any serious Jew live in Chutz Laretz? I don't get it. Right? Why would any serious Jew live in Chutz Laretz? Aside from all the religious reasons, I say to you that if you want to be involved, when the history books are written, it's not going to be about another kosher restaurant that opens up on Central Avenue. That's not going to be in the history books. History is being written here. If you guys want to be participants and not just spectators, so then this is where Jewish history is being written. Clearly, come and be a part of it. All right, we'll stop over here.